We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match. With Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Pregnant ladies and little kids better get the hell out of the way because I am running. I'm like Forrest Gump, dude. I am running. So the Titanic was the biggest ship on the ocean, but that didn't mean it was unsinkable.
Okay. I want you each to use ombudsman in a sentence next week.
I got one for you. My name is Kevin, the official ombudsman of the Just Press Play podcast. You like apples?
Welcome back into edition of the Just Press Play podcast. We've been gone for a while, and honestly, we thought about being gone again this week, but there's just too much basketball going on, too much fun going on. I got Pops and Uncle Tony joining me. What's going on, guys? Have y'all been watching all this basketball?
Hoopty hoopty!
I got a note on, 3:23 at 5 p.m. I finally got to watch some NCAA, so I can't remember when that was, but it took me forever to get to watch any of it.
Well, I mean, and you still stand, Pops, the best sporting event of all, right?
Tournament? I think so, yeah. I mean, this year I think was a little odd. I mean, the Razorbacks couldn't even sniff, you know, obviously an entry, and I always like
well,
it better
they sniffed
when they're
it.
In.
They sniffed it, I think, in December, but in 2024, I think, they pretty much knew they weren't going to be there.
But it's funny, once it started and I started watching, I'm hooked. I'm completely hooked. I'm 100% in. I mean, into the women's too. By the way, I watched both those games last night, so I hope we talk
into
about
the
that
into the women's basketball. Or just into women.
Well, I'm into women, of course, yes, but I'm into women's basketball for sure.
Tony, what about you? I know, you've been just all over.
I've been all hoops. Over. This is one of the first years I haven't taken off work to watch. So I missed some of the early games when I was tracking them. This has been one of the strangest tournaments. Hopefully, we'll talk a little more. The first two rounds, I think Thursday and Friday, were phenomenal games and just some big surprises I put out there on the thanks to the JPP crew for letting me put some words out there last weekend. I thought that was – thank you so much. But that first Thursday, Friday, some of the strangest basketball I've ever seen. And then Saturday, Sunday, things kind of got right. And this past weekend was great basketball, but kind of chalk started showing back up, unless you're NC State. It was good games.
Tony, you were just talking about it kind of getting chalk, and it did seem like it did get chalk for the Sweet 16, other than NC State, who someone forgot to tell them that they're a Cinderella, and they just keep on winning. So we're down to – we'll kind of jump back and forth because, you know, this is the first show we've done since tournament started, so there's no telling where we could jump here in this next 45 minutes. But looking at the Final Four we have here, I found this interesting. We have NC State – Purdue, Alabama, UConn. I think three of those four teams, Tony and Pops, the best player and the team runs kind of through the big man, which is an interesting – I don't know if that's just a this year thing or if maybe college basketball is going, okay, well, maybe we just need to play through Pitsnoggle guy, our boy – DJ
Moore, isn't it? Is it Burns or Moore?
Burns. There's DJ Moore's there. They have DJ, the point guard.
Yeah.
And then there's Purdue, who has Zach Edey, who's just a huge human being, who is good at basketball. I might have a little rant about him in a minute, but Alabama has some good big men, but they're kind of Marcus Sears.
Sears is the guy there, I think, yeah.
Well, and then UConn, Klingon put on a freaking show in their last game. And let's go to UConn first there. That game they had, it was 23-23?
Yeah, against Tennessee.
No, Purdue is Tennessee. They were.
Okay.
Yeah.
Blanking.
It was, the first one that I saw him turn against was San Diego. And then
they just do this to everyone, though. They just suffocate.
Yeah. And then they walloped Illinois.
Yeah, it was Illinois, one of the best offensive teams in the country. I think they were the number two behind UConn. And it was 23-23 and then 30-0 run. It went 50 minutes of real time where Illinois did not get a basket, not a free throw, not a field goal. Nothing. I mean, that is sheer dominance, Tone.
That is Homeric. Let me tell you, I've never seen anything. And I was switching a little bit like, okay, I'm going to come back when Illinois is in it. And I was like, okay, they're still at 23. They're still at 23. They're still at 23. And I look back, and it's like 10 minutes left in the second half. They're still at 23. It's crazy. I've never seen 12 minutes of basketball like that. And they did it each time. UConn was like Secretariat. If you go back and YouTube Secretariat.
Good analogy, Tony.
Yes. And they, you know, Secretariat, he would play. They'd be, everybody be kind of bunched together. Then all of a sudden it's time to go. Off they go. And Secretariat just blow them away. That's the way UConn has been. I've never seen a team play with their opponent like UConn has in these last, in these first four ball games. Just nuts. Well, 20 something at the end this last one, but it's crazy.
Well, I was about to. Last year was kind of similar. They just this UConn bunch. It seems like you can hang around for a little bit, but they just are overwhelming.
You know what I got out of them is that when they have somebody down, they put their foot on their throat and don't let up. And that's the way I think you have to play. And I'll be honest, I don't see anybody beating UConn this year. They're about to repeat first since what Florida did in God, it's
07-08
long time. Yeah.
Long time. Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I don't know, Kevin, if we want to wait for matchups and talk about these four teams a little bit and games beforehand. But UConn is probably going to have two very interesting matchups coming down the stretch.
Well, Tone, you seemed like you had something you were going to say there about maybe the teams seem to be running through big men here. Or was there something?
Yeah, but running through one man, and so I think it's very interesting. UConn is balanced. As much as you want to say about Klingon, they really are balanced. Yeah. They're the one team here, I think, is that way. But Alabama, it seems to be this guy, somebody shows up. So you had Abernathy show up against Clemson. You had Nelson show up against North Carolina, asshole. Mm-hmm. And then you had, you know, they have these guys that are not supposed to be that good, are not regulars, are pouring in 20-plus points. Out of the ordinary. So, but the constant is Mark Sears. So you can take one guy on each one of these teams, and the offense runs through them. So, except for UConn, but you got Edie, Mark Sears, and DJ Burns for NC State. This is the first time I've seen where there's this one guy that's really pushing these teams forward.
And so I told this to Pops maybe 2 weeks ago or a week ago. We were just talking on the phone one day coming ahead of the tournament. And I sometimes find myself, I don't know if I'm being a hater on UConn here because I do recognize the sheer dominance, but it almost is like not even fun to watch because they're just so good. It's like a pro team playing. Like, I just, and I think it's where we were all alluding to. It's hard to see a team. I mean, this was the same way before the tournament, but it's hard to see a team beating them because you're going to have to play 40 nearly perfect minutes. And
if you don't bring your A game against UConn, you will get embarrassed. You will flat out get embarrassed. But, Kevin, I would say I'm enjoying watching them just because they're so skilled and play so well together. It's like a well-oiled machine. So I do enjoy watching.
You compared them just because the last team that went back-to-back and that Florida team had three lottery guys who all came back to run it back. Yeah. This UConn team lost like two guys in the lottery, lost Sanogo, who might have been their best player in the tournament last year. They brought back Klingon and a lot of guys who were on the team, but not the guys, and just, oh, don't worry, we're reloading, we're fine. Like, that's what's so impressive to me is it's not like the same group, the same five are rolling back out and they're just dominating.
Hurley's the name we need to be recognized, and I think these players
are good, but Hurley has a way of. I think he's strategically a really good coach, and the same way you were just talking about, they don't let up ever. That's a motivator. That's a master motivator, and I think you're right. You see these runs sometimes because you get up 15, and it's just almost human nature. You get up 15, 20, you stop closing out on that three as hard. You stop making the extra pass. You just get a little looser, and UConn plays up. When they were going on that 30-0 run, I mean, they looked like you could have if you didn't have the scoreboard, it looked like it was 0-0 the whole time because they were just playing balls to the wall nonstop. And then they just put you down where it's like, this thing's over. I mean, we can't.
Yeah.
Can't beat them.
I'm excited for Danny Hurley. You know, that the Hurley family is a very famous family in the Northeast for basketball. His dad and his dad's dad, very famous coaches, high school coaches in the Northeast. And then, of course, everybody knows Bobby. And then Danny, you know, was okay, but really happy for him. I want to say that I've got two thoughts on it. I want to be careful because, you know, when Billy Donovan went back-to-back for Florida, everyone's like, Billy Donovan's, yeah, he's the next. Where's Billy Donovan now? Right? So he went to the NBA.
He's still a solid NBA coach. Yeah, I think he should have stayed in college.
But, you know, he's no Coach K. And I think Danny Hurley has the opportunity with this, with where he's come from and the type of basketball that he plays. This could be the next Coach K, right? This could be this generation's or Patino. You know, maybe not Patino, but Coach K, that coach that goes the distance at that school.
Well, because just like we just mentioned, what I think makes this so impressive is that he's got a new group playing the same way. Like Billy Donovan is a good coach. I think he was a good coach. When you bring back Al Horford, Joakim Noah, and Corey Brewer, you're already like they were really good that year. They won the championship, and you brought them all three back like that. I think Donovan was a good coach, but I think he also had three awesome players.
Yeah,
and Hurley had to start over, and this team might be better. And I thought that team last year was awesome. Sanogo next to Klingon was amazing, and they had Hawkins hitting threes. I thought that last team was good. So I want to get over to the other. I think just before we wrap up this a little, and we can get further, but I think Alabama has a shot against them because, as we've watched, Alabama's a good team. Sears is good. They got some bigs that can play with Klingon, I think, to an extent, at least, you know, work them. The problem with Alabama is they're going to shoot. They are going to shoot. And if they get cold, as we just talked about, UConn will bury them. Tony, what – I mean, I know you're probably picking UConn. I think the line is 11.5. That's probably about right to you, don't you think?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's the right line. But this is of the matchups they could have, this is probably the scariest for UConn. And here's why. Because if Alabama is hot and shoots 40% or greater from the field, they can beat UConn because of the speed in which they play the game. They're going to play eight, nine guys, and that there's a possibility that they could shoot their way in far enough in front of UConn that it breaks down their game. And so Alabama is hot at the right time. I did not see Alabama doing this, but that's the kind of game they could play. Now, if they don't shoot 40% or greater, UConn will bury them. I think you'll know with about 2 minutes left in the first half what's going to happen in this ball game. If Alabama has got to get up and go, if they're able to shoot the ball like they did the last two ball games, I don't see them. They're going to have a chance.
You're going to have a chance. I was going to say, I thought you was going to say you don't see them losing, but I think they'll have a chance if they shoot like that.
I was going to say, I don't see UConn blowing them out, but they've got a chance against UConn if they shoot 40% or greater.
Agreed.
Boss, I'm guessing you're agreeing on that?
Yeah, I'm 100% in. They've got to shoot lights out to have a shot at beating UConn. Yeah. And they might shoot lights out and still get beat by 11.5. You know. But
this is the first team UConn's going to play that's faster than them. Alabama will be faster than UConn Saturday.
I do, before I move off Alabama, I do want to, one, just that Clemson-Alabama game was an awesome game to watch. And Mark Sears, I gotta give a little. Well, one, credit to Clemson. I did not realize I didn't think they were that great, and they're a solid basketball team. Yeah. They got kind of overlooked. Sears, after having the half he did in that first half, and then to come out and he was just every time Clemson got like within one or two, Sears made a huge shot and just carried that team to the end. I was very, very impressed with him, and see some serious potential with him, possibly even on the NBA level. He kind of reminded me of some. A little, if you've been watching Jalen Brunson since he's kind of gotten to that stardom level, a little short stalker, but just knows how to use his body, knows how to use his feet, and will hit those threes.
Quick digression. If Jamal Sheed would not have gotten hurt in that Houston game, I mean, oh my God. That was just That was devastating. Not only did we have a financial interest in the University of Houston, but
all three of us in different ways had financial interest.
Oh, but she was the you know, the guy that makes that Houston Cougar team work. And him down early was just devastating. But anyway.
And I think you saw with the way Duke played NC State, Duke, this wasn't that great of a Duke team. I don't think they should have even – Houston should have beat him. If she – they lost the one player
– they couldn't that lose. That they couldn't
was everything lose. To them. Everything to them. Yeah. I mean, it was just – God.
Yeah.
That was so heartbreaking. One, because I know I've watched a lot of I think it's Shed maybe, but I've watched a lot of Jamar Shed.
Yeah.
And he just – plays he's the epitome of what Kelvin Sampson wants that team to be. He just plays his ass off on both sides of the court and really made himself into a good offensive point guard. He was just suffocating defensively, and he is a really good player and carries that team. And Houston's dealt with injuries all year, and to get your star to roll his ankle, and if you saw the ankle, you knew right away, like, I don't know if that guy's coming back for the rest of the tournament, let alone this game. They kept saying he's going to try to come back because I think that's how he is, but. Oh, that was just...
That was the worst.
So that's such a bad way to lose. I mean...
I just wanted to see those two teams play. I just wanted to see them, you know, I wanted to see them play. Alabama. But anyway.
So can I say something about Duke?
Sure, yeah.
Okay. Not necessarily Duke. It's this Filipowski kid. I don't like him. I just don't like him. He's whiny. He is a Christian Leitner-like Duke player.
He's the perfect Duke hateable player. He's even got like Duke hateable. He makes the face every now and then. You're like, you just have a hateable face.
If you're a Duke fan, you love this guy. If you're not a Duke fan, which is the other 80% of the world, I don't like him. He's a whiny. He started this thing with his arm, you know, showing his bicep.
I saw a flex after he got like
after he went. It's like, dude, you got 4 points. Shut the fuck up and go back down the end of the court.
I'm good. If you're balling out and they can't stop you, I kind of like a little flex maybe around it, but you can't do it after your second basket of the game.
Yeah, you can't do it. And then what was funny, I don't know if this was interesting. So in that Duke North Carolina State game, they're running down the court and Filipowski fouled out. When NC State went on their run, he fouls out. And DJ Burns' dad starts doing that flex, right? He's doing that flex in the stand going, yeah, there you go, buddy. There you go. Well, that's right. So anyway, there's your new, and he's a sophomore, so I'm sure he'll be back. There's just a new Duke player to hate. But nothing. I'm sure he's as a nice young man, asshole. But he's still, I think, one of those Duke players now that you could probably go out there and not like.
Hey, that Roach kid. Boy, he shows up in March, doesn't he? Wow.
He does.
He's not during the season, he's kind of
He's there. But yeah, March. It's March, he's on in March.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I can't believe we're just now getting to him, but NC State, let's go there then.
Let's go.
I mean, DJ Burns might be, like, if we ever come up with the Pitt Snoggle logo, if it's not Pitt Snoggle himself, it's probably DJ Burns. I don't think the man could jump up on top of a phone book, yet he was just balling against Duke. He can pass. Awesome.
Got
he's
quick
got
feet.
Touch.
Got good
he's
feet.
He's got good feet. Dad, the other day, I'm watching, so NBA kind of staggered, and so they had some of the NBA games coming on after the Elite Eight games, and Jokic was apparently late to the shoot-around for his game, and they asked what happened. He was like, I was watching that Burns kid at NC State. I kind of like him. I see a little me in his game. That's a big man showing a big man love over there. Yes, that's got to be nice.
Did you see when
DJ.
They asked Burns about it? And he was like, you could see he was so proud that Jokic knew who he was. And, you know, he was.
Yeah.
You can't not like Burns. I mean, it's just you can't not like that kid. Yeah.
This NC State team. So Kevin Keats, I think is the coach's name, was gone. He was all but fired. And they're playing against Virginia in the ACC tournament. And Virginia has a guy who's like 86% from the line going to the free throw line. Just needs to make one. And he misses both of them. For the first time all year, he misses both free throws going to line. NC State goes on to get a buzzer beater. And then all of a sudden now people are like, Kevin Keats, maybe the next big coach. Like, and it's just crazy how March is. Like, if you can rattle off four on the right time of year, that's all that matters. That's all that matters. And now this team... They look like they can play with anybody. They got a guard, like Tony's saying. They got a guard that can play. They got Burns, who you can play through because he just makes the right basketball play. And now they got belief. And I think that's what's so great about this tournament is you got a shot if you can just get hot at the right time.
Yeah. So to me, they are fun to watch, and I've been watching them. And I got a bougie problem I'll talk about later, but they're so fun to watch, and you see this team growing right in front of you. DJ Horn is probably the best guard in the tournament right now, just because of the way he manages this team. He's not the biggest, he's not the fastest, he doesn't shoot the best, but when they need a bucket or when they need to get the ball, when they need a steal, DJ Horn is getting it. He makes them run. It's really fun to watch. But the key for them in these last few games, why they're winning, is because this kid Middlebrooks is growing up right in front of our eyes. So Burns doesn't have to play 40 minutes. He's playing 32. And so he can do that. And then I'm going to mispronounce his name. I can't pronounce his name. They're other big man. So they've got 3 6'10" or greater guys, if you count Burns, that they can
Diarra?
Rotate.
Are you talking
Diarra,
about?
Diarra, yeah.
Diarra.
Right. Okay. And so he plays more of a wing. He's more of a forward, but they can put those guys and rotate them in. But Middlebrooks does all the dirty work. And if you go back and watch their games, watch how good this kid is. He really takes on the big man that they're playing. I don't know that they can handle Zach Edey.
I was about to say, they got a big man to take on.
This is going to be very interesting. A very interesting game. But boy, they have been fun to watch. There's just no doubt about it.
Now, I don't know if the same can be said for the team they're getting ready to play. What's your thoughts on watching Purdue basketball so far in this tournament, Pops?
My first thought is they're a pretty good team besides Zach Edey. Is it Smith, the shooting guard? Braden Smith, that kid can play, and they've got some other certainly players. Zach Edey has gotten serious. Last year, he was a big lumbering guy, and he's still a lot of big lumbering guy, but he has certainly slimmed down. I think he plays smart. You will see him not contest some shots he probably could block in the paint, so he makes sure to not get in foul trouble. But his effort is there, and I think he wants it bad. I think I can see the desire in him. He's kind of an understated guy, but I think Zach Edey's mature level, how he's grown or evolved since last year, has been very impressive. And I like their coach, Painter.
Matt Painter.
He's certainly been there enough to have some coaching ability. I've enjoyed watching him. Also have a little financial interest in him, so certainly I'm rooting for them, but it'll be good. It'll be interesting to see those big guys for NC State going up against Edey and how he handles that. Because he cannot handle. He doesn't have the footwork as Burns has. No way.
I want two things. Two things can be true at once. I don't necessarily like watching Zach Edey play, and it kind of frustrates me to watch him play. But I don't like the people who are like, this guy wouldn't be good if he wasn't 7'4". I think they're wrong. I mean, he uses height to his advantage. But as Pop's saying, I've watched him. I really liked the Purdue team when he was a freshman. I can't remember the big guy they had that I really liked, but I remember I bought them for a lot of money in a Calcutta, and they lost like the first round. And Edey has really grown into, he's got good hands. He catches pretty much every pass they throw to him. He gets good positioning. He, like you're saying, Pops, he doesn't really get in foul trouble because he contests shots well. He stays down. And he has good, like he makes some good post moves. It's not like he's just a waste of a player, just tall. Like he has gotten better as a player, but the way it turns into a free throw contest, Tony, it gets so tough to watch. And I think you want to complain about it, but if they slow down and show most of those fouls, people are slapping the crap out of his arms, and he's just 320 pounds. He's a big man, and he's physically dominating. So he probably is getting fouled, but like he was 14-22 from the free throw line against Tennessee, and it gets frustrating to watch and almost feels helpless, but maybe that's because he's that good, Tony. I don't know. What's your thoughts on him?
Yeah, I had the same opinion before I started watching him in this tournament. So Cindy and I were watching him in the first round. So Cindy, my wife Cindy, is an excellent basketball fan. She really can watch a basketball game and figure stuff out. And she was so frustrated because in the first couple of games, they're just thrown into Edey, and he's kind of fumbling around, and he throws it in. It was like he's playing keep away from these kids. I have the ball. You cannot get the ball. You know, it's just this weird game. But then this last weekend, I saw him, Lifford said it, he got serious with the game. And the really, when they had to have a basket, they did it. Him and Dalton Connect just went. They went.
Oh wow, great game,
mano a mano in that game, and it was phenomenal.
That was a good tournament basketball game to
good
watch.
Tournament
basketball.
You saw two great.
I kind of wish Connect would have got a little help from somebody.
Yeah,
but I mean, oh, Edie was
Ziegler. Ziegler was so cold; it was just ridiculous. But to talk about Purdue, so Edie does his job. And their offense is the get it in and drop it out for the three. And so what made me more interesting, he feels the double team really well. I did not realize how good he was at that.
Well, and that's his growth. That's a lot of growth.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly. So if you're 7'4" and you've got a double team, if he was playing, and when he does play in the NBA, I'm sure he's going to still shoot the ball through the double team because they're not going to be 7'4" around him. But he feels the double team, and he is popping it out, and that's Purdue's offense. Now, I will say Jones, the forward, guard forward, swingman, is the key for them. Smith's going to get his threes if he's hot, but Jones can actually play some small forward and slash to the bucket.
Lance Jones, yeah.
Lance Jones. And so they are a little more complete team than I thought they might be, but that was what was most impressive to me is Edie feeling the double team, and he's not as good as Burns is at it, but he really can find the open man, and that's when they.
But
that's
like you're saying, I think he knows they're going to try to get an entry pass into him, and if they collapse on him, just trust it. That just pass it back out. They might swing it. The ball. He knows the ball is going to get. Sometimes you see a big man like, oh, I got the ball now. I got to go up. I got to make a shot. And he knows. Let this offense work. They're my guards are going to find me if I just keep working, yep. Get positioning because he's also. He's stronger than you, too. He's bigger than you, and he's pushing people around. And I think I don't want to compare him to this guy because he's not this guy at all. But me watching him is what it used to sound like when Pops used to talk about watching Shaq. He used to get annoyed watching Shaq because it was just like, well, he's just stronger. He's just bigger and strong, physically dominating everyone. It's not like Hakeem with all these nice passes and nice shots. And he's just – and that's sometimes what Edie – he gets that shoulder or that elbow and he just push out of the way and he's dunking on you or he's getting a rebound over you because he's just bigger than you. And he gets in good positioning. So I do want to give him credit.
Yeah.
But – and I think they will – I kind of like them to win this week against NC State. One, I love DJ Burns, but at some point the height is going to change things. I mean, it's not like Burns is that fleet of foot. So he's not just like blowing by Edie and Edie's height's going to – I think they're going to bring Edie off of him. Yeah. And let Burns just every time Burns tries to drive, you got a 7'4" guy helping out, yeah. And Burns can pass though. So if they start shooting, they have a shot. But this Purdue team, if it wasn't for UConn, I would say this is the best basketball team we have in the tournament. But yeah. it's tough. I would bet Purdue probably wins by 10 because they also do a pretty good job to me when they can. They don't turn it off. Like I think it was a couple of games in this tournament where they're playing. They were inferior opponents, but they start out great, and just Purdue's going to keep going to Edie. They're going to stay in their offense, and you got to play them off the court. I don't know if you can anymore.
Yep. Well,
and probably some of that is to losing to a 16 seed. It's the same reason we saw
that Virginia exactly. team. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No kidding.
That Virginia team lost to a 16 seed, and that all summer long and season long, they were like, okay. And that's what Edie looks like, guy who spent – this guy's in shape. He's not getting he plays 31.6 minutes per game, and he is busting his ass on the rebounds. He's not just half-assing it. He's playing.
In that Tennessee game, he sat for 35 seconds.
That's conditioning, and that's what he did not have. He looked. He did early in his career looked like a guy who didn't like basketball. He was just big, and now he looks like a guy he's like, I'm going to come out here, and I'm going to dominate you.
You play 35 seconds and score 40 with 16 rebounds. You're working, right? He was working, and I got to respect him for that. I mean, he really, truly, he wanted that team to make the Final Four.
I want to interject there. I think talking about being in shape and Edie being in shape, I do think Burns obviously could be in better shape. I love his game. Don't get me wrong, but I think that's going to come to pass here in this game. I think his shape or lack thereof, if you will be a problem for Burns in this game. I'm like you, Kevin. I don't know where Tony is on it, but I think Purdue is going to stop this Cinderella story.
Yeah.
If Burns could get him on a pump fake or something, all of a sudden, that's the one difference in college. You got five fouls, not six. if Edie pops with two quick fouls or something, this game changes. That's what I almost hope. Neither I hope either way. Really, we don't. I don't want to see Burns or Edie all of a sudden have two quick fouls, and now we're doing the. Oh, I don't know if we can bring them back in, because that just we saw that in the LSU game last on Monday night where a couple girls got in foul trouble, and that's the only problem sometimes in college with those five fouls. All of a sudden, your best player's not playing because you're getting foul trouble, and it feels like the refs. Calling this game, but
yeah. So so Alabama's opportunity to beat UConn is to shoot greater than 40%, right? If they can do that, they've got an opportunity. I'll tell you this. So here's the DJ Burns has in the tournament has the best drop step of any big man that's playing in this tournament.
Yeah,
and he's really quick, and for his. And I don't even think, say, for his size. I don't even like to say that. He's got a really quick drop step.
Quick feet.
If he gets Edie to get two fouls before the first half, they've got a chance. Because if Edie can't manage that drop step and he can get under him, then I think they've got a chance. Now, Purdue, the thing about Burns that gives them that, if they double-team Burns with Edie and a guard – then somebody's going to be open. NC State's going to have to hit their shots to that. Then a lot of ifs happen. But if Edie gets two fouls in the first half because of DJ Burns' drop step, then I think they got a chance. It's not the fact that whether NC State can guard Edie. I think it's the fact, can Edie manage DJ Burns?
Let me ask you something on that drop step, because I agree with you. But I don't know if I can remember him drop stepping to the left. It's always to the right. And no, so you're absolutely, if I'm Edie, number one, I don't have to jump because, as Kevin said, Burns can't jump over a phone book. Two, make him go left. Make him go left with that drop step. Do not give him or play that baseline. You know, give him nowhere to go on the block on that side. I think Purdue can outplay, can coach against, they can outcoach that position, I think.
Well, I'll say this. You say that to the right, and I want to say this because we haven't talked about it. That I heard this every stinking game that Marquette played about Tony Kolek. He goes to the left. He goes to the left. He goes to the left.
But he kept going to the left.
He kept going to the left. I don't know what is special with his elbow. I don't know if his whole life he's been flicking a basketball with his left hand. He made some phenomenal shots going to his left and just flicking the ball. Will make a great pro. I don't know if he's coming back or not, but they couldn't stop him. So I'm concerned that they, even though they know it, can they stop DJ Burns from going to the right?
Yeah, and the other thing I like about this NC State team is because they kind of came in on house money, they never – and all they didn't because they didn't have that player step up because they were 17-14 going into the ACC tournament, but – it's a different play. Like this past week against Duke, Burns was fantastic, 29 points. But they won the game before. Burns had 4 points. You know, and they have a Middlebrooks might go for 21 or he might go for 4. It just seems like there's not one guy that does it. So it does scare me a little. They don't have just a guy who can take over this game at all times. Mm-hmm. Like Alabama's going to go to Sears but Horn can get hot. They play well where it's just like whoever's got it's got it. Yeah. But sometimes when it gets down to this level of basketball, you need that guy who's going to go, I'm the best player on this court.
Yeah.
Run the offense through me. I'll get us a good look. Yeah. And I don't know if they got that guy.
This is where we saw St. Peter's get over their head last year. St. Peter's made a great run, Final Four, and then just this is where they couldn't go any further. And I'm afraid this is what's going to happen with NC State. They just don't have the one more player to beat Purdue.
So, as we wrap up, we touched hard on the Final Four teams, obviously, because they're the ones still playing. We haven't been here for the whole tournament, so is there another thing we want to just – some quick points of anything you want to touch on? Things we – between the – I mean, Kentucky losing was Kentucky.
Kentucky losing. I thought Calipari would leave. I really did after that. I thought there would be a mutual understanding that he would have to go. I really thought that. But like I said, the first and two rounds, there were crazy things were happening. I've never seen so many 12 seeds win. But and my bracket shows that. But this is something I thought was interesting. I've never seen so many games have less than 20 points scored in the first half and then come back to be 60, 70-point games. It was crazy. I don't know what was going on, but there were some of these teams could not shoot their way. They couldn't throw it in the ocean.
So – it was crazy. Conspiracy Kevin joining in, and this is just I've just read this and people claiming it. Some people believe the balls were overinflated. And so shooting was really bad in the first half because the guys weren't used to shooting with these basketballs. This is a very much a Twitter running wild. This is not a, this is like,
sounds like the ball's a flat bouncing. Earther to me, but
you know,
but there's, but there's, sometimes you see that anyway in the tournament, the first halves are low scoring. Cause it's just like, whoo, win and go home. Like it just, you're it's like, tight. It's like NBA finals game. It's just like, whoa. And they, it takes a half to settle in. So a lot of times those, these teams are really good. That's the reason they're still playing, so that they, their shot finds itself. But it's just nerves for the first little bit.
Kevin, I'm going to say
not overinflation.
There's just as much a chance of that ball being overinflated as there is of one end of the court having a different three-point line than the other end of the court.
Oh, wait. That did happen.
Wait a minute. That is incredible. That let's go. So that's women's basketball. That was in Portland, I believe.
Yeah.
They played multiple games, like four games, without realizing the lines weren't measured the same.
What? How do you not see that?
Apparently, well, they didn't realize.
You know, they had the paint inside that. I you know, I can see why they didn't notice, but.
Yeah, but there's a.
It is a significant difference. It's like, it's like, am I looking through this through a fisheye glasses? What's wrong? I saw it. As soon as they just flashed, it's like, yeah, those are different. How could you not be a coach and watching your teams warming up and going, wait a minute, that doesn't look
well,
right.
What I'm shocked is any player who starts missing, especially like a shooter, like shooters are so quick to have an excuse. The balls are overinflated. The rims are too tight. That you know, all kinds of, I'm just shocked a shooter didn't, being what a shooter is, go, something's off. I'm not this bad a shooter. And they go, look at the lines. Just look at them. I can't believe it didn't happen until so the fifth game.
I can't tell you how many times that I've had a player, coach of baseball, come in and say, "Coach, the batter's boxes are chalked wrong." Shut up. It's not a
yeah. Usually it's a shut up, but some kid would have looked at it and go, "No, for real, coach. Look at the gap between the free throw line and the 3-point line. It's clearly different."
Yeah, I can hear coaches going, "Shut up and go hit the. Just shut up."
Shut up and play.
And it's like,
now what if, Tony, what if there was a woman who was like, I'm not hitting, and the coach kept saying, shut up and play, quit, shut up and play. And then later they're like, oh, hey, Angel, I'm sorry. You're right. Those lines were off. I'm sorry for telling you to shut up over and over again.
But it wasn't like it was, okay, it's like an inch off. It was like 9 inches, right?
And both teams do play on each half. So, I mean, you're.
Yeah, but. 9 inches.
That's crazy. I've never seen that before. I've never seen that at a high level of basketball.
Bob Johnson will tell you 9 inches makes a difference. That's crazy. It's crazy.
Oh, but so while we're not just here to make fun of women's bad. That was a bad moment. But I think we all watched the whole sporting world was watching women's Elite Eight on Monday night, and Caitlin Clark and Iowa going up against Angel Reese and LSU. That game was hot. It kind of got a little off for the wheels fell off a little for LSU in the second half, but that was some high level basketball. And one, Angel Reese was playing out of her mind in that first half. She was doing everything, but Caitlin Clark is just like she just doesn't stop. She's just going to keep on penetrating the lane, getting a layup or passing out. She makes the right basketball play a lot. And that was just a high-level, fun basketball game to watch. And I'm really excited for the next game, like UConn against Iowa. And then if Iowa can keep going, South Carolina is just the immovable object there in the women's side. But what did you think about that game, Pops?
Well, some things that came apparent to me is the women love that inside-out game. Wow, do they use that. Yeah. They pass down low, spread out on the three-point line, and work it inside out. I mean, the athleticism is just different, you know, between the men's and the women's game. It's more fundamental game. And I will say, Caitlin Clark, I think, is the closest to Steph Curry that I've seen. I mean, honestly, guys, girls, whatever, she'll jack it up from anywhere. Now, I will say her shot selection sometimes is like, oh, my God, don't. And then it goes in because she'll shoot it off balance sometimes, falling sideways. But I mean,
yeah, I don't love 23s, but she went 9 for 20. So
yeah,
I mean, that,
yeah. So
if you can go 9 for 20, you should do that.
Well, she's got a pretty good eye too. I mean, she will drop some dimes. I think she was overpassing a little bit. There were some turnovers early in that game. I think even the announcers mentioned she had, I can't remember how many turnovers early, trying to make some passes that would have been sweet had they worked, but boy, she is a baller. And she's 6 foot tall. So, yeah. I mean, she'd probably beat me pretty badly. I mean, like badly.
Yeah.
At one point with Kim Mulkey, she had Haley Van Lith on her for a while, and Mulkey should have found something different. I thought Caitlin Clark was just abusing her. And at some point you go, we're going to blitz or double, and maybe it's because she moves around so much it's tough, but I just thought at some point you go, I don't care if Gabby Marshall hits 10 threes. Someone other than Caitlin Clark is beating me. I'm not letting her beat me. And that's where I thought Mulkey kind of let her team down a little in that game. And then they also had foul troubles in theirs too, where Flage and Angel Reese were both out for a significant amount of time because they had three fouls.
You know who I liked? I think her name was Martin. She's kind of a blonde-headed girl that just
– For Iowa?
Yeah, for Iowa. Just worked her tail off the whole game. Got hit – you know, in the ear one time or whatever. And I really liked the way she played the game. She was impressive.
Yeah. I don't watch that much, but I did watch this game off and on, but I watched almost all of the second half or second and third quarters. And I was impressed with Caitlin Clark's ability to deliver the basketball. Mm. I was not expecting to see her running the game like she did. I was impressed with that, but Angel Reese twisted her ankle, and I think that
falling into the stands too. I think that was like on the camera. People,
you didn't really realize it at the time, but that really changed her game. She was very
because she was playing like her head was coming. She was on fire. She was getting steals.
And
she was
doing a little bit extremely athletic, and that
she was very hesitant the rest of the game. Now I don't this Mulkey her, that coach man. She's a wild card.
I remember her at Tech. She's a firecracker. She was the point guard at Louisiana Tech. And back in my college days, I had a little crush on her. I really liked Kim Mulkey. I really did. And she's almost too much of a firecracker now, I'll say.
She did. There was one point early in the game where it was like her first time out of the game, but Iowa came out pretty good and got a couple different backdoors, and LSU wasn't getting back. And you could tell Mulkey wanted a timeout, and she signaled for it pretty hard signal for timeout, and the ref didn't see it right away, and your girl Gabby Martin almost got a steal on the inbound play because she was doing that kind of sneaking around, and I thought Mulkey was going to blow a gasket. She was like, I'm pissed at the refs, I'm pissed at my teammates or my players. Like, she just was like, it looked like I would not be anywhere near her because someone was about to get their head ripped off. And then shockingly, LSU came out on fire right after that timeout because I think she lit something under their asses, and they came out and played. It was a fun game, and it was kind of wild to see. I can't tell you in my lifetime. I mean, the interest in the women's game has gone up, but like looking on Twitter, everybody was talking and watching about that. Similar to like not a Super Bowl, but you know, just a huge game where everyone was talking about Iowa and LSU. And I thought, wow, I mean, that could grow the game. Just moments like that, you can keep growing the game. And I'm interested to see what happens with it, because now you're going to get fans now who are like, well, now I'm just a Caitlin Clark fan. I'm watching her wherever she goes pro, and I'm just all in. And it was funny, we were talking about this the other day, and we'll probably wrap up here, but what's interesting on the women's side that I think helps them is all these faces are faces we watched last year and the year before. And so you start getting these, like, the reason this LSU-Iowa game was so fun was because we just watched this. Angel Reese beat her, did the little, like, the ring size to Caitlin Clark, and I was trying to figure out why can't the men's side do this, but you look at the salaries in the WNBA compared to the NBA. I think I saw the highest paid player in the WNBA makes less than $1 million a year. Angel Reese has said that she makes more in NIL than she will make in WNBA. So it makes financially, it makes more sense for her to stay in college than it does to go pro. I don't think that's ever going to quite, like, maybe you could say a lottery pick in the NBA. If they stay with NIL, they could make close to a rookie deal, but they're never going to be making more than what they could make in the NBA. And how are you going to tell a kid not to go take generational money and stay in college another year? You just can't. And so I don't know if we'll ever quite get there, and I don't know if women's would be that way if they got paid the similar, but maybe what we're seeing in college could grow the WNBA. Because I'll tell you right now, I don't watch a lick of WNBA basketball, but I've been all in on some of this women's tournament.
It's fun. That was a good game the other night. Both those games were fun to watch for a little while, yeah.
So we're going to wrap up. It sounds like the pod's going UConn-Purdue in the championship.
That's my picks, Kev. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to go chalk with UConn-Purdue.
And your heart wants Purdue to win it all, but your mind's telling us. Purdue can play with them, I think.
I think I'm going to go Purdue. I think that Zach Edey is the best college basketball player right now, and I think it's going to be tough for UConn to stop that type of offense with the type of defense that they run. It's not a deny. It doesn't matter if you're a deny the ball kind of team. They get the ball to Edey. I actually like Purdue to win that game if it's UConn-Purdue.
That's going to be fun. I think if we get that one, I don't think Klingon would play one-on-one against Edey. I think they would put someone else and let Klingon be the help defense and try that would be a fun one because I think Painter and Hurley are two of the better coaches we have in basketball right now. So that would be a fun game.
It's going to be a fun game.
Best teams, two great coaches.
I like all three of the games. There's no bad matchup with this Final Four, I don't think.
Rooting for two really close games and then a championship that's really close. That's all. I don't want to see a blowout. That's really my own thing.
Yeah. The only blowout the potential I see is if Alabama shoots poorly. If they shoot poorly, then UConn is just, as Liv said, it could get ugly.
Yeah. Man, there ain't nothing like the NCAA tournament. I tell you what, it's just fun.
So much fun. All right.
Well, that'll do it for this week. Hopefully we'll be back next week. There's a little bit we need to talk about some gambling going on in sports. There's some stuff happening between NBA and MLB. I'd like to get y'all's opinion on. Hopefully we get back around next week to recap the championship and talk a little of that. But for now, the Just Press Play Pod is out. Peace out.
Peace. We'll be right back.
Mm-hmm.